Ukraine President Zelensky just wrapped up a speech in Switzerland. Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, have you had a chance yet to go over what the president said just a few minutes ago?
Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. No, I have not, but I do know that the Swiss government was pledging a significant amount of money, more than $1 billion, for reconstruction. And, you know, this is, you know, there's a lot of people that have planned, a lot of countries and businesses that want to help with reconstruction. But still, there is the more urgent reality of winning the war. And on Saturday morning, once again, the Russians sent missiles flying all over the country. It was not as significant as it has been. It was not as destructive as it has been recently. In fact, it seems that on Saturday morning's attack, the Russians are mainly trying to test the system and to find weaknesses. They were sending missiles at around 7 o'clock in the morning, and the missiles, you know, twist and turn. And so in their course, before they hit their target or before they get stopped by air defense, they cover almost the entire country. They reach every region of the country. But that was, it was not as bad as we've seen the past several weeks. Meanwhile, there's good news. Really, it's been an enormous morale booster for Ukrainians. We had news on Sunday that Ukraine shot down two Russian planes, significant Russian planes. One of them, the IL-22 command aircraft, of which Russia only seems to have probably 11 or 12 of those. Very expensive aircraft was shot down over the Sea of Azov, which is next to the Black Sea. And Ukrainians also, around the same time, shot down an A-50 Russian spy plane over the Sea of Azov. It sank into the sea. Reportedly, that cost $380 million. Russia only has, well, they only had 10 of them. Now they have only 9. And that plane, both of those planes are used to help Russia, to guide Russian attacks, to detect Ukrainian air defense, and to coordinate targets. So these were significant strikes for, you know, Ukraine, which, you know, is you know, still not receiving you know, massive military support. Just, you know, they, despite all the talk and chatter, so this was a huge morale boost for Ukrainians to know that they have this ability. And I think it's also a message that Ukraine wants to send to the Western powers, to Germany, and to the United States in particular, that if they have these tools, look what they can do. Meanwhile, we have, while President Zelensky is in Switzerland, I just saw that my friend, the chief rabbi of Ukraine, is in Washington, and he tweeted earlier today that he was meeting with Republican Congressman Thomas Massie. Thomas Massie, I think he's from Kentucky, and he's an opponent of funding not only for Ukraine and Israel. And so the chief rabbi on both scores was trying to persuade Congressman Massie to support both Ukraine and Israel. But it was, you know, sort of an encouraging energy that Ukrainians are, whether they're the president or civil society people or the chief rabbi, traveling the world to take, I think, you know, as we talked about several weeks ago, there was a heavy feeling here, but I think there's a new energy now. And I think we see Ukrainians try to share this with the world to say, hey, look, you know, this is possible. It can be possible to pull off victory. And Bob, I was thinking, yesterday being Martin Luther King Day, and I love the Dr. King's letter from a Birmingham jail. And in that, when he was there in the Birmingham jail, he was very frustrated with what he called the white moderate. And he says, you know, I've reached a regrettable conclusion that our great stumbling block to freedom for African Americans is the white moderate, the people who prefer a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice. And he said, you know, he was criticizing the attitude of people who say, oh, I agree with your goal, you know, I support you, but I cannot agree with your methods of direct action. And I think that's exactly what Ukrainians are feeling now. You know, they're doing everything they can to shoot down these Russian jets. They really want the weapons and the permission to hit bases in Russia to put an end to this. But you see leaders all over the world saying, you know, cool it down a little bit. And this was the same frustration that Dr. King had when he was imprisoned in Birmingham.
And the Russians never acknowledge things like that. I saw a report today that Moscow has no information on that claim that the Ukrainians shot down the planes. That's always the case, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean they can't acknowledge these things, and you know, and it's but by the same token, you know, Ukraine, there's things Ukraine can't acknowledge. I was talking with friends in Israel over the weekend. You know, in Israel, every morning they at 6 o'clock in the morning they read the names of those who've been killed in battle. Ukrainians don't do that because as the underdog, they have to keep that. I mean, you can tell by, you know, the amount of funerals in different cities, but they have to keep that information secret. But there is, you know, from British sources, you know, different intelligence sources around the world and different media, there's wide clear consensus that Ukrainians did indeed shoot down those two massive and expensive and powerful Russian planes.
And I know despite all this, incredibly, the spirit there remains relatively high. People are still singing, aren't they?
Yeah, and I wanted to share with you this clip of singing because it from two different situations over the weekend in Lviv. The first half of this clip, just 30 seconds, it's from a place called the Puppet Theater in Lviv. And, you know, I mean, it still is fully Christmas here. And you'll hear in this clip, there were four Ukrainian women bedecked with sort of, they look like sunflowers. They're wearing these big headdresses with the band. And they're singing so cheerfully and forcefully. I mean, listen, I was there at the show and it was an underground theater. And listening to them sing, you feel that you could go right into battle. And the first words they sing are Christos Rodetsa, which means Christ is born. So take a listen here, and then we'll hear. We'll step outside and listen to the people singing in the street.
Those are singers outside, Joseph. That last
bit at there? The end, there was just people of Lviv walking on the snowy streets right before curfew and singing together. There was some opera singer there, but just otherwise regular people. And you know, it does feel like scenes from It's a Wonderful Life. you know, as we, you know, despite the heaviness, and you see that you know, people need this to carry on. And another thing to remember that, you know, all of this, like singing in Ukrainian, singing songs about the birth of Christ in January in the streets in the Ukrainian language would be illegal under Russian occupation. And, you know, I sometimes look into Russian media and, you know, the only thing that they can't debate about whether or not the war is right, but they argue about how many rights they want to take away from Ukrainians. And they want to take away their ability to speak their culture and sing their songs. And so this is part of the resistance, the singing that you see here while the guys are also fighting at the front lines.
Yeah, it reminds me of something you posted a week or so ago about Ukraine being a Christian country that holds on to its traditions better than most. And it has a Jewish president, a Muslim defense minister, just as Israel, a Jewish country, of course, has Muslims and Christians in its parliament, in its society, and in its military.
Yeah, these are democracies, and you know, imperfect, but truly democracies, and people who want to be free and insist on it. And as Dr. King, you know, pointed out, I mean, we have the battle with the enemy of Hamas or Russia, but also the silent enemy of the moderate, who tells the people who want to be free just to quiet down a little bit. And Ukrainians refuse to do that.
As we say, democracy can be messy sometimes, but it's the best system in the world. Thanks, Joseph. We'll connect tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.